In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that, because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So, after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I read again from John chapter 13, verses 3 through 4. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, from the fall into sin by Adam and Eve, through the last prophetic book, Malachi, the Lord God promised to send a Savior, a ruler, a king, a chosen one to save God's people from sin, death, and all evil. God promised a kingdom for his people. The regular way of getting a kingdom and rule for any person in human history is through battle and political intrigue. Whether in the ancient world or in our political systems today, power to rule means power to influence, threaten, and overcome one's opponents. If one can't subdue one's political opponents, then one wins power. Jesus Christ's kingdom did not come in such a way as human kingdoms and political rule. Jesus knew that all power was already given into his hands. In a few hours, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would say, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so?" Jesus knew all power was his. But as he sits with his disciples that night, what does Jesus do? He puts on a towel to wash his disciples' feet. Think of these two verses side by side. Jesus knows all things are in his hands, and then Jesus puts on towels to wash feet. What Jesus did in that room was not the common character of human kingdoms. All power was in his hands, yet Jesus chose to use that to serve sinners. He washed the disciples' feet to teach them to love and serve. And later, even though those same disciples would abandon Jesus, and the Jewish leaders and crowds would shout to have him crucified, Jesus would serve them and serve all sinners by offering himself as a redeeming sacrifice on the cross. Christians follow Jesus, the Christ. He calls his followers not to lord power over others, but to serve others. Jesus wants us to think deeply about our lives and relationships. How do we think about others? How do we act towards others? In power over others, or in service to them? Later that night, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Jesus then died for his disciples. He knew, even though he called them to love one another, they could never love perfectly. Jesus knew his love was the perfect love his disciples would need. He died to purify all sinners. Even when we fail to love, Jesus' love does not fail us. He forgives us. Please pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, give me faith and understanding of serving others in your kingdom. Forgive me when I do not love and serve. I trust in you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We pray. Grant to us zeal for your house, O Lord, and love for the things of your kingdom. Preserve those who are unable to gather today as they wish, and grant them their desire quickly. Give your church harmony and peace to confess your word with one voice before the world. Cover us with the blood of Christ, and grant us your spirit that we may walk in your ways and do the good you desire. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of plagues and enemies that threaten, and a world filled with conflict and terror, give us wise leaders, O Lord, that we may be preserved from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws to act in timely and prudent ways. Give to all judges knowledge to render justice with mercy. Bless all military, emergency, and medical workers who defend and help us here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have mercy, Lord. Spare your people and turn this pandemic away. Preserve the sick, comfort the fearful, and grant to the dying your peace. Hear us on behalf of all those who have asked us to pray, especially Margaret, Norma, Lillian, Carolyn, Charlotte, Sandy, Diane, Henry, Lincoln, Isaac, Julie, Loretta, Bryston, Kathy, Carlin, Mark, Dan, Kathy, Shirley, David, Zach, Wendy, the family of James, the daughter of Julie, Pastor Shirey, and Pastor Berlin. Give us healing in accordance with your will, strength to bear up under the burdens of this mortal life, and comfort and hope in this and every trial. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You know, O Lord, what we need, and you have promised never to abandon us. Help us to endure in faith, and with a joyful countenance, receive the blessings of your grace and the answers to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.